So let's go back to Up from the Cradle of Jazz. You know, this was the first book I ever read about New Orleans music, and I feel like it set me on the right path. You covered so much material in this book. It's amazing.
Well, we worked more than 5 years on it. It began in the late, 1979, 1980, in a break, production lull, you might say, from the documentary of the same title that John Foose and I were producing. And we realized we had so many outtakes from all of these interviews we were doing with the Neville and Lasty family members. Sadly, a number of them are no longer here. Charles Neville died just recently. And so we conceived the book as a sort of large tableau to explain the interwoven nature of the neighborhoods and the tradition of musical families.
And that's one of the things you brought home to me that was so fascinating, the way music is a family affair in New Orleans, in almost every kind of music, almost.
Well, it is. And frankly, I think if one were to do a book like this today, dealing with those two themes, neighborhoods and musical families, it would be an enormous undertaking because so many of the younger musicians who've come up, one example alone, Trombone Shorty,
sure,
whose brother James Andrews was a major figure in his life, a mentor of sorts. Their grandfather was Jesse Hill, Oop Oop A Doo, the R&B singer. And Glenn David Andrews, who is one of their cousins, comes out of a family that's almost like a dynasty out of Gabriel Garcia Marquez, where you have eight cousins named Glenn Andrews, several of whom have played in the same band. So it takes a great deal of digging in a scholarly sense, a research sense. But, you know, I think the richness of the musical culture here is fed by this dense network of kin lines and kinships and people who are cousins and brothers and mothers and sons. It is rather elaborate.
It's amazing. Now, some of the other general histories that I think have educated people along the way, I think of I Hear You Knockin', The Sound of New Orleans Rhythm and Blues.
It's a great book by Jeff Hanisch, and both of us, I would say, well, both books, Jeff's book and the book that I did with Jonathan and Tad, who sadly is deceased now, we really, in a very real sense, built on the work that John Brovin did with his book. Well, it's now called New Orleans Rhythm and Blues, the early 1970 paperback edition.
And it's massive.
Well, it keeps growing every time John updates it and reissues it. But it was originally called Walking in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I read that, I suppose I was about 25 or so, and I had never read a book that dealt with Fats Domino and Professor Longhair and the Nevilles, who at that time did not have a family band. And as much as I admired the industry of his research, I felt that there was a much more intimate story to be told about who these musicians were as individuals. Look, when you grow up, as I did, seeing Deacon John and Irma Thomas playing at proms and CYO dances, and then you get a little bit older and you realize, wow, they're not only still around, but they're making new records. It rather plants the idea that the music is a garden of ever-spreading delights.
This is Susan Larson. I've been talking with Jason Berry about music books for the Reading Life's Tricentennial Reading List. The Reading Life Tricentennial Reading List is sponsored by the Hellas Foundation, the John Burton Harter Trust, and the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities. For the ever-growing Tricentennial Reading List and other episodes, check out wwno.org.